most of you, but for some of us, the family behind the house where we were built, they jammed that all day long really loud. And so we were like, it was crazy and wonderful. Hello, Bay Cities. It's great to be back. It's wonderful to be home. Boy, it's very cool. I want you to watch this. This is just, Kenny has been working on a video, and it didn't quite come together because it was a lot of work, but this is like a trailer for the from the trip. So enjoy this, and then I have a surprise for you. I know that probably makes you want more, but that's exactly what we wanted to do to you. So we'll get it to you. It'll be, I don't know if we put it on Facebook, we'll figure it out. But it was really weird today. I walked into church and I had no notes. I think that's the first time I've ever done that. And I was going, I'm missing something, you know. But I kind of liked it, so I'm thinking. No, I'm serious, because I do a lot of thinking. That I'm going to go to SpaceX for the next 6 months, and I'm going to act like I'm David Goldstein. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm going to have some folks come up here, if they could, right now, and join us that we're on the trip that I asked to come up, if you could. You're going to come up here and grab one of those mics up there. Kenny, I'm going to give you mine, I think. Or wait, you could just take this one. That'd be good. And we're going to do a little interview, all right? I have no idea how this is going to go, by the way. If you think I planned this. Okay, introduce yourself. Who are you? Grab a mic or share a mic. Well, wait a minute. So, you got it? All right. Kenny, who are you?
You just said.
I know. Mr. Taylor.
I'm Kenny Taylor, and I go here to Beach Bay City's church.
You don't even know the name of our church.
Yeah.
That's what Guatemala for a week will do to you.
Yeah, it will.
Yes. Who are you, young lady?
Sandy.
Sandy, yes. And?
Hello.
I'm Katrina Goldberg.
Michael Goldberg. And I've been wearing this shirt for 5 days.
I'm Carla.
I'm Kevin Tai.
Bob Kanaga.
Can you step forward, Bob, or are you,
There we go.
There you go. Boy, you guys look good today after the week you've spent. Well, I want to ask you, just give me some general impact of going on the trip. What, you know, some of you were first-timers, some of you have been there before. Give me just a paragraph or so of the impact of the trip to you.
I can start. Well, for me, it wasn't about the house building or the child saving or the packing of the food, but it was the interaction with all the kids and parents and then all of us. So for me, that's what it was all about. That's what I took away.
Yeah, and you and I became friends.
We did.
You can't get rid of me now. I made that clear, didn't I?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Who else? Yeah. Somebody else.
What impacted me was almost what Mike was saying. We had brunch at Jim and Sandy's house the week before or 2 weeks before the trip. And there's a lot of faces that I didn't know. And now it's like these guys are like family to me just because of the week long experience and being together. Like I see Mike in a whole nother light.
Oh, yeah.
Whole nother light.
Bob? To me, it was really special watching Hope of Life impact us as we loved on the people we were serving. And I was able to do a little bit less work and just observe that and to see God work in both ways is really beautiful.
Mm. Kevin Tai.
Yeah, the Hope of Life was just a name to me before we went, and now it's really a new meaning. What they're doing for the people of Guatemala is really amazing, and to participate with Bay Cities and see the interaction between Bay Cities and Guatemala Church, or the Hope of Life, it's a special thing. And what we've done for those people is, it's amazing, and continue, and just looking forward to the future with hope of life.
Cool. Could you do me a favor, Kevin? Could you switch places with Carla?
Sure.
It's not going to matter, but we'll just make Bob feel small. There you go. All right, Sandy, how about you?
I really love the name Hope of Life, because that word hope, you see all these families every year that we go, or every time that we go, we see these families that have no hope, and we create it one family at a time. We create hope for this family, and the story behind the family that we were able to bless this last time was just incredible. And
what was the story?
The story is a husband and a wife. They're older, and they had 3 kids, and one of their sons actually just passed away from cancer, and then the other 2 children were in the home, and the government decided that their living conditions were not good enough for those children to survive in a good way, with a good quality of life. So they've been living at Hope of Life for about 2 months, and they can't come home until they have better living conditions, which is what we did. So part of what I'm going to tell you is with a photo a little bit later, but we gave that family hope, and you know, they worked right alongside with us as we were digging holes, as we were painting, as we were doing everything. They were just right along there with us, and it was really neat.
Thank you. Did you already talk, Ken?
No, other than when I made the announcements that we were excited
enough.
About.
That
this.
Wasn't enough, dude. We want more.
Well, you know, I agree with what Sandy was saying, you know, the name Hope, because that's really what the whole trip is about, is from us giving hope to many. I mean, we have 7 full days of giving hope, and then we have an opportunity to kind of reflect on those days in the evening times when we're together. And then they bless us in different ways, Hope of Life, to give us a great experience also. And I think it's just, you look forward to each day that you're there to what God is going to do in the midst of you being there. So
I've got another gentleman back here that, like Michael Goldberg, he became my friend, and I saw him back here. Hey, Ed, would you stand up and tell us how Hope of Life impacted you? Give this man a hand, will you?
I have to say, this is one of the reasons why I don't have many friends. My wife and I travel quite a bit, and I will tell you, if you've never done a trip like this, it's something you really should do. Regardless of your status in life, it is such a rewarding experience that you can share with your family and the few friends you may have. So I would strongly encourage anybody who may be considering doing something like this, whatever the cost may be, the reward you get back in return is multiplied many-fold, and it's well worth it.
So how did it impact you?
I got a new friend.
Yes, he does. He's stuck with me, too. Sorry, you guys. Oh, Katrina. Yes, go. Yeah.
Okay, hi.
Thank you, Mike. Take care of me, buddy.
This trip impacted me. This was my second time going, and so I was familiar with some of the things that we would be doing. But this trip particularly impacted me in a spiritual way. I thought a lot about how we hand out food and supplies and comfort to people, but really noticed how they give the same back to us, and why is that? Like, we're being the hands of Jesus, but I think they are too. And this trip in particular, I saw that, I felt that, and I hope that I brought that home with me so that in my circle of influence, I could be the hands of Jesus even when I'm at work, or last night we got together with my parents, and so with my parents, and you know, usually I could be, you know, kind of snotty sometimes, so I'm going to try to...
We love the truth at Bay Cities, yes. All right, I've asked each of these guys to pick a one main photo that they could describe how that photo meant a lot to me. So, Joe, which one's first? Okay, Kevin Tai, you go first. Tell us. Where was this at, Kevin?
This was up in the mountains. We had just drove for 2 hours on a bus and another hour in four-wheel drive trucks to get up to the top of the hill.
Wait a minute. What was it like being 6 foot ten sitting on a bus?
I wasn't going to go there, but yeah. Okay, go ahead. Easy for me to drive or fly anywhere down there, but it was very rewarding.
Okay, go ahead.
This is when we were bringing the two children out. And we were just getting close to the road, and I was able to hold one of the babies for a moment. And it was just a great feeling to know that we were bringing them to Hope Alive, that they're going to have a much better life. I don't know if we have any pictures of their home, but they're living in sort of like a cave. And we were just amazed where they were living. I was. And I had to duck like this to get in. And... we're getting back to the road, and the feeling was just great that we were going to get these people some help.
Cool. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you.
Bob Kanaga, what photo did you pick, my friend?
Okay, so I was not very mobile on this trip, so this is one few times he got me in action. There's a place on the campus called Kelly House, and it's for people that have, for the kids that have severe mental and physical disabilities after they're being rescued. And they were giving us a tour, so they were talking about how these kids are doing. And I was standing outside with an open window, and I was leaning into the room, listening to the tour. And right below the window was a crib. They had cribs all over the room. And there was a boy in the crib I'd recognized from before. And I'd never seen him outside the crib. And this was not a baby. This was actually a boy, this boy. And so he was just laying there. Well, after we finished the tour, about a half a dozen of us guys went back to that house and grabbed these kids that we could and asked permission. We put them in. Sort of asked for permission. And we put them in wheelchairs, and they thought, I think, we were just going to wheel them around the little house. We took them to the next part of the compound, and where the seniors were playing bingo, we ran them all over. And so to me, what I loved about Ben taking this photo is the joy you see in this boy's heart. He was just staring blankly in the crib. But the minute I got him in this, he just started laughing. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that just touched my heart. And I don't know if you can see it, but I didn't realize, Ben, that my smile was also there. So he was giving back to me big time.
Very cool. Excellent. Wow. Katrina, what did you pick?
So 2 years ago when I was at...
You guys can all look forward and look at the screen on the back if you want. There you go. See? On the right?
Oh.
There you go. There you go.
Okay, 2 years ago in the hospital, I saw a girl and she looked like a skeleton with life and not very much joy. And so I chose to sponsor her and found out that she had diabetes, she'd lost her front teeth, and she'd also lost her mother. And she looked like she'd lost a lot of hope, but she had a little Bible written in Spanish in the hospital bed next to her. So 2 years later, this is us. She came to Hope of Life with her father for a visit, and we spent maybe an hour or two together, and we had a translator, and just had a really, really nice time. The highlight of this for me, and this is what I'm excited about for the next year, is that I gave her a self-feeder in Spanish and told her that I have the same one in English and asked her if we could do it together and asked her if she would pray for me, and I would pray for her also, and then we hugged, and that was really the highlight of the trip for me.
Now, is it true that you brought two Spanish sofritas?
I did.
Why?
I said she could give one to an amiga. because, oh, that's a friend. That's a girl. my amiga, Cynthia, she had given one to me about a year ago. And so I loved that she gave me that. So then I thought that maybe Dulce would like to give one to her friend too, especially if she starts to enjoy doing it. And it's that circle of influence that I think is so powerful.
Wonderful. Now, how cool was it to sponsor a kid and be able to meet her? Oh, my gosh.
It was so cool to sponsor a kid to get to see. She and her father said that the sponsorship has brought some joy to their home in a time where they lost the mother and had very little. They just had lost so much. And they said the sponsorship has brought them some relief from some of their, I think it let them know they're not forgotten.
Yep. Cool. Thank you. Kenny Taylor, did you pick a photo?
Yes, I did.
You had a lot running through your brain.
Oh, a lot. Well, this photo right here, this was at the dump. We were serving food to the families. And the great thing is when you see them, when we first got there, the pavilion area was empty. It was no one there, but they all showed up and it got packed. And as I was taking this photo, the girl gave me the peace sign. And I thought it was so cool. I was like, wow, you know, they get their food and they sit their food on the ground as they kind of separate it into different bowls, like the chicken from the broth and the little bread that they get, the little tortilla. And I just thought, wow, you know, I was taken by the fact that she gave me a peace sign when I took the picture, because so many of them, when you look at them, the food is what they need, and they have such a great need, and they're all suffering at the dump. You know, it's not an easy place to live, but this young lady was okay in that moment to let me know, hey, peace out, you know, and I just thought, it just hit me when she did it. I said, wow, I was really surprised. So yeah, that really blessed me.
Thank you, Mr. Goldberg.
Yes. Oh, so this was at the house that we were building, and I kind of broke the rules a lot. I'd give out shoes when I was not supposed to, and ham sandwiches when I wasn't supposed to. There are ham sandwiches, but they would look at us, the kids especially, and looking in the eye, and it just was you just couldn't do anything about it. So this was after we were done. This is the third day at the site. The house was done, and we were leaving. These are all the towns. We just handed out the food bags, and we were leaving. And I noticed there are apples. We had about 25 extra apples, so started handing them out, and it just became a frenzy, and I felt like the Beatles. but we didn't have enough for all of them, but we gave as many out as we could.
If you had to choose quickly which Beatle you'd want to be, who would it be? Come on, quickly.
Probably John.
Okay, all right. I'd be Paul. Carla Taylor. Did you pick a photo?
Yes, I did, and it's funny because I was going to.
Oh, she's in my shirt.
Yeah.
He really. Did you wash it?
I did. Oh, good. Hot water.
I actually had two photos. It was Mike's photo and the photo that I have here. And this is another picture of Kelly's house. But my focus wasn't so much the boy. My focus was Mike.
Sandy and Mike, you want to look forward? It's right there. It's right there. Yeah, there you go.
It touched my heart because Mike, and I didn't even ask the Liberty to say this, but what touched my heart about him, Mike owns, well, I don't know, 56, 57 units of a restaurant, a sandwich chain. Another store was opening while he was in Guatemala. And I mean, in my line of business, I work with a lot of high net worth people, a lot of people that have a lot on the go, businesses and all that. But this man was so engaged the whole week with the kids. It just touched my heart that he was able to trust God with his business, trust God with his 400, 800 employees. I don't even know how many he has. 850, thank you. 850 employees, and come and serve Jesus. And that touched my heart so much. And you know that show, The Undercover Boss? That's the undercover boss right there.
Oh, that's
well,
good.
Just on that, it was, you know, and I do have a lot of responsibility, but the one thing, and I said to Katrina while we were on it, is that for anybody that has a lot of employees, or I know everybody works hard, but to go on a trip like this where you're not in charge, too, is a great thing. Mm. You eat when you're supposed to, you sleep when you're supposed to. And I tell people that every day. And you talk when you're supposed to. So for me, it was just a great experience on that side of it, too.
Cool. Sandy Makinga, do you have a photo?
I have a favorite photo. I sent this to my kids. I sent it to everybody that's close to me. This is one of the little boys that is going to get this house. And this little boy found out that, or he knew that Jim was, you know, the leader of this group. And he came running into Jim's arms, and he wouldn't let go. He just squeezed him so hard. And, I mean, he held him forever, because there's hope. Because there's hope. And that was the second half of what I was going to say, is that this family now has hope, because this house will be in their family for the next 50, 60 years.
Yeah. Beyond that.
Beyond that,
these kids will live there one day when their mom and dad
and
are gone.
And they'll own that house, so these boys will. So it was very exciting.
So I let Sandy have my favorite photo, because I'm a smart man. Listen to me, men. Listen to me, men. But this photo, that's his bed behind him. He's going to have a bedroom. And Mike Baker in the back gave us this. It was Christmas on steroids, this bag full of toys, and it was all laid out on his bed. And he came in there, and he's just looking at it all. And he was reunited with his parents earlier that day for just the afternoon. He went right back with a social worker to Hope of Life. Hopefully he'll be there in a month or so back home, because it takes time through the court system. But he saw this stuff, and it's like, he looked over at me, and he's overwhelmed, and he came running at me. And if he would have been 18, I would have been tackled. Seriously, I've never experienced, and he just grabbed me so hard. He was overwhelmed. It's, I imagine, what we'll do when we see Jesus on a certain level. You just attack him, because he was so grateful. And so it was a big deal, a big deal. So thank you. Any last comments?
I just wanted to say, you got Mike Baker and David back there crying right now. Just from, I mean, literally, I don't know how David's going to do this message. So
no. Well, I ain't doing it, dude. You can be sure of that.
Oh, we saw the solar panels.
Oh, I know. Speaking of that, thank you for the insight. All right, everybody, you guys can turn around now. Watch this. Watch this. Kill the lights.
Or some of them, I should say.
Wonderful is this? Oh my gosh, this is just unbelievable. And it feeds the hospital up there and a couple other buildings. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Thank you, Jesus, for all of this, for Hope of Life.
Yeah, you Bay Cities and David Goldstein did that. So. All right, you can put the mics back.
So it's going to be really fun. Can you bring that podium up here too, Kevin, if you can handle it? So it's going to be really fun. I'm going to sit in the second row with my wife, and I'm going to watch David preach. I'm going to be making faces at him because I'm not really. I'm very excited to experience that. But thank you for all who went. Thank you for all who supported us. We go in Jesus' name and in your name. And one day, I tell people all the time that I want you to go on the trip. Now, I know all of you can't, but I want most of you in this room. I don't care if it's 5 or 6 years from now. Sandy and I will still be going down there. And a little older, I think. But we're going to be going down there. And there's no rush. But you all should go, like Ed said earlier. It's very valuable if you can. So with that, I give you the commander, Mr. David Goldstein.
Might as well just get me another tissue because I'm still, my nose is still, I'm not kidding, my nose is still a little bit. Okay. This could be super fast. I could just tell you if you want to get grit, go to Guatemala. Just go and go and go to Guatemala. You will get some godly grit. We're going to talk about grit a little bit today. Thank you. Wow, there's a lot of people here, too. A young pastor was sitting in a restaurant eating lunch, and he opened a letter he'd received from that morning from his mom, and he opened it up, and a $20 bill fell out. He thought to himself, thanks, Mom, I sure need that right now. But as he finished the meal, he noticed his baker outside the restaurant, and so he thought to himself, you know, he probably needs it more than I do. So he took the envelope, crossed out his name, and wrote in big letters, Persevere, on the top. And then he kind of hid it in his arm, so when he walked by, he didn't want to embarrass the guy, so he kind of like let it drop. And he noticed the guy grabbed it and picked it up and looked at it. And so he left and then came back the next day, and he was sitting there eating his breakfast, and the guy comes up behind him and taps him on the shoulder and hands him a big wad of cash. And he's like, wow, that's crazy. What's this for? And the man replied, this is your half of the winnings. Persevere came in first in the fourth race at the track yesterday and paid 30-1. So, people don't always hear things the way you want them to hear it, right? So let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together in your presence. Thank you for the incredible work our church did in Guatemala. It's overwhelming to me to see the impact on these kids and the impact on our people that go. Thank you for letting us have this small part in that and for the amazing work you're doing. We see your hand there so clearly. For us today in these few minutes, help us to kind of push past the distractions and the burdens that we brought into this room today. Help us to hear your still small voice. Scatter your seeds of truth in our hearts as we open our hearts to you today. Help us to move just a little closer to your kingdom and how important that is in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I told you I was going to be a mess. I better get some water. Well, that is not great water, Bob. Oh, see, okay, now this is probably really, really good water. That is great water, okay. All right, so as the illustration showed, people don't always hear exactly what you intend to hear, so we're going to go back over a little bit from last week. I know some of you weren't here last week. Joe, if you could put this up, and this is in the notes, a little summary. Just recall that God is good, and he works all things for good, right? He does that. Life can be hard. The life of those kids and people in Guatemala is hard, but somehow hard is good. Hard is good, and we're going to talk about that more today. God wants our good. He does. He wants good in our lives, and so he allows the hard things in our life for our good. In fact, sometimes I think he allows hard because he is good in our lives. So in the face of all this hard stuff, we need, we said true grit last week, but I think we need God grit. We need this grit that is focused on God and his ways. We talked about how gritty water is. I nerded out a little bit on water. I think water is super cool. And we talked about how the one who gives us living water may have been the one in the fiery furnace with the three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and kept them safe, right, in the middle of that fiery furnace. And they were gritty, right? They were gritty by stepping up and saying, we're not going to bow because we trust this God that we think is bigger. And even if we die, we know this God can save us. And he did. For those of you who are new, I tend to go a little nerdy up here. And so we're just going to get that out of the way right at the beginning. You may have heard that, you know, reindeer are like people. There's probably a song that your kids have sang from Frozen about reindeer and people. We're not going to talk about reindeer, although reindeer are super gritty animals. We're going to talk about rockets for a minute. Oh, shocker. Rockets are like people. Yes, I believe it or not, rockets are like people. You're gonna get this in a second. I promise I'm going to tie it together, I hope. I did not run any of this by Jewel, so I apologize if it doesn't work out. So usually she'll like keep me in check on this stuff. Okay, rockets, they don't like extreme environments, right? They don't like fiery trials, kind of like people. They don't like being put under too much pressure, kind of like people. They don't like it when their planned trajectory takes a detour. Usually when it does, they blow up. Kind of like people. They need a purpose and they need direction to be fulfilled, right? They have a purpose to go do and they need that to be fulfilled. At SpaceX, we do this kind of cool thing where we reuse the first stage of our rocket. And so Joe's going to put up a little cartoon there. We launch this rocket up, and then the first stage actually comes back down, and we land it, and then we reuse it. And we have to, in order to do that, we have to, I made this word up, we have to gritify it. It might be in the dictionary, gritify. What does that mean? Well, we have to change the trajectory of that rocket body very quickly after it like separates the second stage. We have to change it around super quick. And we have to do that in order to navigate it to where we want to land it. We got to land it somewhere safe. We can't just land it anywhere. Sometimes we land it out in the middle of the ocean on a barge. Sometimes we land up back on land. And it's kind of hard getting it right to the spot where you want to land it, especially because it's traveling through this incredibly complex and horrific environment. It's coming back in supersonic, so it's going faster than the speed of sound. And it's coming in engines first, and we're going to fire those engines while we're traveling supersonic speeds. All right? NASA said this was impossible. They said you couldn't do it. You can watch an episode of The Big Bang Theory, and there's an episode that talks just exactly about this. And if it's on The Big Bang Theory, it must be true, right? It might seem a little bit easy to kind of do all that, but it's really not. Lighting those engines as it's coming back in. So we have this little video to show you kind of what the environment's like when we're bringing this rocket back in. This was a rocket that we launched actually for the government, and Joe's going to show the video, I hope. There we go. Okay, so this is a video of the rocket coming back in, and then we're going to light the engines to slow it down as it's coming back in. And so to be able to do that, we had to figure out how do you light it? We actually light it with this chemical that explodes when it comes in contact with the air. It's called TTIP. I don't know what the acronym stands for, but that's how we do it. We put a big heat shield on there. We have to make the rocket very, very robust. We have to put fins on it and thrusters to be able to do all this. We do a lot to gritify it. And sometimes, like in our lives, we need to gritify ourselves. We need to grow some grit. And the reason, going back to what is the purpose? Why do we need to have this godly grit? It's so we can more purposefully and more consistently pursue Jesus, right? And go after him and go after the mission he has for us in our lives. That's what this grit is all about. It's about going after Jesus. So how do we do that? How do we build some grit? So I have a little definition of grit that I put together, and in the notes there, this kind of grit that we're talking about, this God grit, is the scrappy, undeterred, wholehearted pursuit of Jesus and his mission, despite persecution, tragedy, pain, fear, threats, and confusion. Okay, so this is going after Jesus no matter what is going on, with a whole heart, undeterred, and scrappy. And there's this great definition of scrappy in the Urban Dictionary, but I couldn't use it in church. I loved it, though. It's like being super resourceful, like pulling out all the stops, doing whatever whatever it takes. Undeterred is persevering despite whatever comes our way. Being wholehearted is like all of me, not just a little, not half, all. We're going to talk about giving it all for Jesus a little bit later. It's setting our face like flint, as he says in Isaiah 57. I love that. You know, flint was one of the hardest things they had, setting your face like flint. They didn't have diamonds back then, right? They couldn't cut a diamond. Flint was super hard for them, and set your face like flint towards Jesus. Okay, so how do we do that? We're going to talk about some God grit getters. Lots of G's there. The first one is choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. Jim is a great friend. He's a great friend to choose. He often says we're the average of our three closest friends, right? Jim says this a lot. We're the average of our three closest friends. Our friends can have a huge impact on our lives, or they can have a big detraction on our lives, right? They can turn us away. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I thought it was kind of funny that the translation now said person instead of man, but we won't go there at all. So one person sharpens another. Our son Josh has his three best friends, which is kind of funny, are Jackson, George, and James. So Josh has Jackson, George, and James as his three friends. So you are the average almost of your three friends in the first letter of your name. We were talking to his mom yesterday at Josh's track meet. Her name is Katie. And we were talking about colleges, and Jackson's thinking about going to CU Boulder. And we were kind of saying, wow, it's a pretty liberal school. Boulder's a pretty liberal area. And she goes, you know, I'm pretty liberal, but wow, Jackson's getting these conservative like views recently. He likes Trump, and he's like getting way more conservative in all of his thinking. And our son Josh is like super conservative, and so we had to tell her, yeah, that's probably the influence of our son on him. Like, you're gonna pick up the things of the people around you. There was a Roman emperor named Marcus Aurelius, and he wrote this great book called Meditations that I started reading. In the first part of the book, he writes for 10 pages the things he learned from the different people in his life. And I love this. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start keeping a journal with people's names and the good things you learn from them and the bad things you learn from them, right? And so I have a slide that shows one of his friends, Antonius, in his life. These are the things that he learned from his friend. He learned compassion and hard work and persistence, how to have an open mind and listen to anyone. How to not play favorites, how to take responsibility and blame for things. He wrote all those things down because the people around him had an influence on him. They sharpened him. They made him better. So to grow some grit, maybe you need to figure out some friends that you want to distance a little. Maybe they're not like gritty friends or a good influence. And so, you know, if this week you're like calling your friend from Bay Cities and they don't return your call a couple times, you know, they might be sending you a little message. Next in our list there is we want to challenge your body and your mind. To challenge your body and your mind. The Apostle Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27, therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified, right? So he saw the value of physical exercise and making his body his slave, doing hard things. We know that resistance training makes you stronger, right? We know this. You know, if you start doing one push-up a day on the 1st of January, and then do a push-up, extra push-up each day. How many of you are having fun doing that? I certainly am. You can start right now, right? Today is 26, so we could do after church. We'll do 26 push-ups. But if you do that every day, it's a little easier each time you do it because you're growing the number. If you just lift the same amount of weight, the same number of reps every single time, you're not going to get stronger. You're going to maintain your strength, but you're not going to get better. We need resistance to gain strength. We need to challenge our bodies with something intense, something challenging to make us better. And it does a couple things, right? It helps our minds. Like, exercise helps our brain and the way we work. I tell you, I'm ADD. Exercise helps me so much. I don't know what it is. Getting all that blood working. I was telling Jim, I do some of my very best thinking while I'm running. I don't know what, God just made us that way. Getting all that blood moving helps a ton. In his book, You Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins, we've talked about this a good bit. He talks about working out hard and all these like long endurance things that he's done, but he doesn't do it for what it does for his body. He does it for what it does with his mind, how it makes him, what he calls hard, makes him resilient, it makes him gritty. That's why he does all these difficult, challenging things. And I think we can learn from that. And choosing the hard things, choosing the little bit harder way is good, right? Hard is good, what we talked about. Somehow God programmed me with this from an early age. I don't know why. It's easier for me. If I pick something hard, I will stay focused on it better. So the lesson from there is pray for Jules, right? Because I pick super hard things. I can't tell you how many times we had crazy moves across the country and all moving all these parts, and she would just go, why are you choosing the hardest way? Why are you choosing the hardest thing? And it's just for me, it's a little bit natural. But are you going to choose the hard way? Can you start to think about like your little choices in life of choosing the harder way, like taking the stairs instead of the elevator, right? That's one little hard thing you can decide to do. Taking that far parking spot instead of the nice close one to walk a little bit more. How about the Compton Initiative? Are you going to sleep in the morning? Are you going to get up and do the hard thing, Kenny? Right? We can pick the hard way. How about preaching 2 weeks in a row, filling in for Jim? Without backing out. Like I did on Sunday when I texted him and said, I can't do it. I'm not kidding you. I texted Jim on Sunday and said, I'm out. I can't do it. And then on Friday, I texted him and said, yeah, maybe I can do it. So we all need to grow a little grit. I do too. Challenging our bodies and mind is a good way to build some grit. All right, the next one is point three, get alone and pray early and often. Early and often. We got to pray early and often. Jesus practiced this so much. He was such a great example here. Luke 5:16. But Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went off to a solitary place to pray. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent all night praying. He spent all night praying. Why don't we do this more? Why don't we pray more? I'm convicted. I probably watch TV more than I pray. That's horrible for me. I don't want to do that anymore. It's super convicting. I hope that most of us don't brush our teeth longer than we pray. This is something. This God of the universe is there. The God that created. We talked about how big the universe is last week, and all those billions of galaxies and stars. That God is like waiting for us just to dial into Him to pray. He's like waiting for us, and we don't do it. I heard this author, Brian Tracy, and I love this saying. He says, if you eat a frog first thing in the morning, everything else you do the rest of the day will be easy. Eat a frog first thing in the morning. I love that saying. I don't like to eat frog, but I like the analogy, do the hard things first, right? Jesus got up early in the morning to do it. For me, if I don't exercise first thing in the morning, I won't do it. Usually if I don't like spend some quality time in prayer first thing in the morning, then I won't do it. That morning time for me is really good. So pray and eat a frog at the same time. Next is don't neglect the scriptures. Don't neglect them. Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Jules and I were over at the Point yesterday, and we were talking after we had gotten coffee. We were just kind of sitting there, and there was a little boy that had a scooter, and his parents were nowhere to be seen. And so I'm trying to have this like deep conversation, and Jules is like, I can't pay attention.
I need to watch this kid to make sure, you know, no crazy person steals him, because there was no parent around. We're like watching this kid. He was out of their sight. We don't want to let this word, the scriptures, get out of our sight. We don't have to anymore. You can take your Bible with you all the time. There, you know, there's great apps to put on our phones. But he goes on to say, for they are life to those who find them and health to our bodies. And then in Hebrews 4:12, and I love this, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The scriptures are alive, right? We may just think they're words on a page. Some, you know, they're just words on a page. They're not. God never lets them go out without them fulfilling the intended purpose. He never lets his word go out in vain. So that means if we're in his word all the time, he's going to use that powerfully in our lives. And there are great ways to do this. I loved the story about the self-feeder. I love that. The self-feeder is a fantastic way to regularly get in the scriptures. It's an easy way. I love the daily audio Bible. When Jules and I first started coming to the church in 2008, the church was reading through the Bible in a year. Everybody, there was a plan, and I was trying to stick to the plan, but I was just having such a hard time carving out the time to sit down and read. And so I found this podcast of the Daily Audio Bible, and he reads through the Bible every year, and I've done it every year since then, since 2008, just listening to the podcast for like 20 minutes a day, and this great guy reads it, Brian Harden, and I heard a lady, they have prayer call in at the end, and she said, I'm going to do this every day for the rest of my life, and I think that is such a great goal. I know this thing is driving you guys as crazy as it's driving me. Okay, so that we definitely need to get into the word. That's another great thing. Lastly here, we need to decide to die to ourselves. We need to decide to die to ourselves. And this is the one that got me this week. You know, whenever we're, I know Jim feels the same way, when we prepare, there's something that God is working on in us. And I feel like He flayed me this week, and I looked what that meant, because I had heard it on Stranger Things, and I didn't know what it meant. And so it basically means you peel all their skin off, right? So I feel like I got flayed this week a little bit. It really hit me. Jesus says in John 12:24 there, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. So guess how many wheat kernels will come from one seed? I looked this morning because I thought it was super nerdy and sciencey. So, you know, just as a standard kernel of wheat falls to the ground, the stalks can come up, and then each little stalk can have heads of grain on it. Each of those heads, there can be 8 to 10, like 4 to 10 on each one with 50 on each. So one can produce 500. Right? Depending on the kind of wheat. But if it stays by itself, it's never going to do that. That seed is never going to do that. He goes on to say, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it to eternal life. Pretty much in Matthew 16:24, he says the same thing. This is such a weird thing. If we want to gain our life, we have to lose it. And if we try to keep our life, we're gonna lose it. Isn't that a weird thing? If we really try to go after life on our own, we're not gonna get it. But if we do what Jesus says and die to ourselves, we'll get life. I love that he uses all the seeds in his illustrations. He does this throughout, like mustard seeds and the parable of the sower. There's dozens of stories that Jesus talks about seeds in the Bible. And Joe's gonna play a little video on one bean, which is a seed, basically germinating. And it's incredible. And if I had time today, we would nerd out on seeds. I would tell you that. It's phenomenal. They are incredible. Everything that seed needs, except for oxygen, water, and sunlight, is there for those first days until it gets up into the sun. So Joe's going to show this video, I think. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this. We're kind of like seeds. We're kind of like this ungerminated seed sometimes. And this is what God can do in our lives if we'll die to ourselves and follow him. If we try to hold on to our life, we're kind of like that seed that's outside the soil. But once we give it up, look what God can do with the little tiny bean seed. And this is incredible. Over 25, look at the roots that thing grows. All just from this little seed, and all of that was inside. Can you imagine the complex engineering that God did in that little seed to make that happen? All the nutrients, all the DNA, everything that it needed to be able to do that. And every one of them knows exactly what to do. That could not have just happened. I'm sorry. Someone had to plan that, and God did it. I was looking at acorns, because acorns grow into big oaks, right? So Joe, the next one is, the next slide there shows an acorn seed. I should have shown, instead of the acorn seed, these are, you know, acorns like this big, they grow into a big oak tree. What I should have shown is a sequoia seed, because sequoias are the biggest trees on the planet, right? A sequoia seed's about the size of a wheat grain. This tiny little wheat grain grows into this great big huge tree. If we will die to ourself, God will do all that work to grow us. He will pour out his spirit. He'll plant us in that dirt, and he'll water us. Now, it's going to not be super comfortable getting shoved down into the dark dirt. It's going to be soggy and wet. It's probably going to smell like my neighbor's lawn who just put a bunch of manure on it. Right? Your life is going to be a little manure-y sometimes. But that is the nutrient that God is going to use in our lives, right? He's going to use that. And this is how he builds big oaks, these mighty oak trees. This is how he builds a big sequoia tree with a little tiny seed. And then he does all the work. He brings everything that it needs to it. We need to die to ourselves. In John 3:30 there, he must increase, I must decrease. I want to die to myself and do this. I want to be able to let him be those nutrients to me. So we should choose our friends wisely. We should challenge our bodies and minds and pray early and often, not neglect the word, and die to ourselves. But what are we going to do with this today? What are you going to do when you walk out of here? And so I at the last minute, sort of asked Karen if she would put a little card in your bulletin there. So I want you to do two things. Number one, on one side, I want you to write what I learned today on that side. You don't have to do it now. You can do it later. But please do it. Write what you learned. And then on the back, write, all right, of these things, these God grit getters, what am I going to do with them? What am I going to do with them? Pick a couple of them. And then decide and do it, one or two a day. Choose something hard, right? Choose something hard. Get up in the morning, go to the gym. Do something a little different. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Practice some of this grit and die to yourself. And die to yourself. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for how much you love us. Thank you for this day and this time that we have together. You are an incredible and amazing God. Thank you for just the awesome trip that the folks had down to Guatemala, the impact on their lives, and the impact of Guatemala on us, and help us to grow grit from this and to continue to contribute. Thank you for bringing them back safe. God, help us build grit to pursue you, and that nothing would be more important, that you would use your word and the truth and prayer and all these things to move us to spend more time focused on you than focused on ourselves in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a great day. My flesh may fail me, but my view